Hey there, and welcome back to Holding Space Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cassidy. So glad you're tuning in today. We are looking at the relationship between breastfeeding and your mental health. This is something that's actually very personal to me with my first, who's 14 now. When I was navigating the feeding journey, I had so much anxiety, rigidity, feelings of pressure, internalized pressure, of course, the societal pressure to breastfeed. And that was put up on a pedestal for me. And my mental health was struggling. I had postpartum anxiety. And I really had a hard time navigating those two things together. And that became the muse for so much of the work that I do today. And you know, I talk about this in so many different ways on this podcast, mental health, maternal mental health, and postpartum period, and all the things that come with it, including the feeding journey. Most recently, I shared a podcast episode about how to get restorative rest, even when your baby isn't sleeping through the night. And a big piece of how to get restorative rest, or why that's challenged when we are postpartum, is breastfeeding. And I thought it would be really helpful to bring on the podcast an expert, a lactation consultant who really does honor both the mental health piece and the goals that you might have when it comes to your feeding journey, and how can we incorporate sleep in all of that as well. And I'm so thrilled to introduce you to Donita Wicks for this podcast episode. Donita Wicks is the founder of Woman to Woman. She is an internationally board certified lactation consultant, along with being a registered nurse and certified public health nurse. I am so thrilled to introduce you to her today. And this episode is so full of support and compassion and real ideas for how we can navigate breastfeeding while not compromising our mental health, and honoring our mental health while not compromising some of the values or goals we have related to our feeding journey. So let's get to it. You're listening to Holding Space Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cassidy Freitas. I'm a mom to three and licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm really glad that you took the time to hold space for you by tuning in to today's episode. My hope with this podcast is to share conversations with experts from around the world and parents who've been through it, so that maybe you feel a little less alone in your experiences and the messy side of being a parent and being a human, and so that you can walk away with supportive steps for what to do next. Listening to this episode is not a substitute for seeking support from a professional in your area. I believe that holding space and offering presence to both ourselves and others is truly one of the most meaningful ways that we can express care. And you are so deserving of that care. All right, are you ready? Let's dive in. So, Donita, you have a lot of letters after your name, and I would love
Thanks for that.
Seriously, I know. And so I'd love for you to share what all these hard-earned letters after your name mean and stand for.
Absolutely. I think it's a nurse thing, too. Once we earn something, we are slapping that on the back of our name.
Yes.
First and foremost, I'm a registered nurse. Yeah. I did go back to school, and I got my graduate degree in nursing education because of my passion for this specialty that I work in now, which is infant feeding. I wanted to be as impactful as I possibly could in the professional realm with doctors and nurses, and lactation consultants, and with families. So I have that. I'm also a certified public health nurse, and I am, of course, an internationally board certified lactation consultant. I'm also the CEO and founder of Woman to Woman Nursing, which is my community lactation practice. So I provide lactation consults virtually, phone, in person, all over the world, actually, and in person here in Orange County, California.
Amazing. And all those letters after your name really show, as I've gotten to know you and learn more about your work and your approach, like all the different realms in which this different education and training hits definitely intersects in a beautiful way, and really shows up in the work that you do.
Thank you for that.
And I'll share a little bit of context. And so I have a few clients who were postpartum and just navigating the challenges of the feeding journey, as one does, as I can absolutely relate to. And we're also struggling with their mental health. And so I suggested to them that they get lactation support. And, you know, in some situations, they had been getting lactation support, but it, in those experiences, they felt like the breastfeeding was really being prioritized in a way in which is so understandable, but they were really struggling with their mental health. And so we explored, you know, maybe there's room, space here to, you know, talk to your provider that you really trust, if they have any referrals for folks that you can talk to where, gosh, that maybe you could have this like beautiful unicorn experience where your feeding journey could be really honored in those feeding goals, and that your mental health can be considered in those decisions and be a priority as well. And I had some clients connect with you and come back and share about how that absolutely happened in that experience. And I was like, I gotta get to know this person. Where, what's her email? What's her website? And then I reached out, and that's how we initially connected. So I'm just so grateful to know you. I'm glad I did too. I needed you. I needed you. I needed the unicorn to refer to. And I'm just really grateful and excited to connect more further in this way, where we can really dive into the relationship of the feeding journey and mental health.
Of feeding and the emotional experience and adjustment of becoming mother. Mm. It was an absolutely satisfying experience for me on my end. I wanted to ask if I've been getting to know you in the background as we have shared clients. I would love if you would introduce yourself and who you are professionally the listeners today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Dr. Cassidy Freitas. I have my master's and my PhD in marriage and family therapy. And when I was getting my master's, I was at a program and at a site where collaborative care was the main focus. And so I worked in internal family medicine and got to work with a lot of folks and connect with and collaborate with nurses and doctors. And at the time, really loved working with new moms. And also cringe a little when I think about some of the things that I would say or suggest or assumed, because this was before I became a mom myself. And so I graduated with my master's, and I was really pregnant at the time, walked across and got that degree with my first, who's now 14 in my belly, and had her, and just had this experience of feeling like I got hit by a train. I was so shook by that first postpartum. I really went in with a lot of, and I share all this because this context really became the muse for all the work that, you know, I do today. But I really went in with a lot of, honestly, it was anxiety, but it showed up with this sort of mask of like rigidity, the need for control, perfectionism. And I had this birth plan that I was like, to the doctors, I was like, you know, my OB-GYN, I was like, you need to put this in my file. Like, this is the plan for my birth. And then that, you know, shit hit the fan. It didn't go that way at all. And I really hadn't prepared for, you know, a cesarean or belly birth. I hadn't prepared for those sort of interventions.
And belly birth. I love that.
Yes. It was birth, you know, and she entered this world through my belly. And I have, you know, the scars to sort of to showcase for that. And those were scars that I think really initially I had a lot of shame around and a lot of trauma around. And
like it was failed birth.
Like it was a failed birth. And I talk more about some of the like details of that and the work I did to heal around that in my birth stories episode. But it was a traumatic birth experience. But then she was here and I didn't have any time to process the birth. I was just in this space of trying to now survive postpartum, which, you know, what I had prepared for really was like the perfect registry list and her nursery and all the little clothes and making sure I researched all the things that I bought, that I had all the things. And then, you know, those little clothes with their tags mocked me as I, you know, really struggled. I struggled with, you know, breastfeeding, with the pressure of being her full food source. Mm-hmm. I got mastitis. I had, you know, cracked nipples, and every time she'd latch on, it would feel like shards of glass, like ripping through my nipple, like just toe curling pain. And I was so sleep deprived and, you know, was really eventually diagnosed with postpartum anxiety, just a lot of intrusive, scary thoughts. And my husband was struggling with postpartum depression, which we didn't have a name for at the time, but, you know, became when I went back to get my PhD, I did my dissertation on postpartum depression in dads, because I was like, okay, y'all, yeah, like I was so not, mm-hmm. I was not, like I had a sense of, you know, maternal mental health, a sense now much more of expertise in it, but I had a sense but no idea that the non-birthing partner could also struggle. But obviously when you think about it, not so obvious at the time, but now it's like, well, of course, right? Like there's also this huge transition. Sleep deprivation, changes in the partner relationship, and they've also found some research to suggest that non-birthing partner's body changes physically too from a hormone perspective. And so, you know, we were struggling, and I got help, got support eventually, and that became the muse for all the work I do today, and went on to get my PhD because I wanted to do more research in this area. And now I have a private practice, a group practice, where we support parents navigating fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and into parenting. And I love what I do. And I love collaborating with others because I don't know all the things and I can't be an expert in all the things. And that's not my job, right? But I do want to send my folks that I'm working with to someone where I know they're going to be really seen and safe. And something that was shared with me after working with you from someone was like, I shared, you know, that I was working with you, Dr. Cassidy, and that these are the things I was struggling with from a mental health perspective. And Donita said to me, "I'm so glad you told me. This really changes our conversation here." And not in a way where we abandon your feeding goals, but where we really are paying attention to the mental health piece. And what a relief and breath of fresh air to know that my clients could have that experience, because I really needed someone to say something similar to me. But you know, unfortunately, I was kind of carrying the mask of I'm fine, don't look too close, I'm fine, and didn't get, you know, that same sort of really vulnerable support. And I'm glad that there's a place for my clients to go to for that.
Yeah, absolutely. When this mother shared with me the vulnerable truth of, I'm struggling emotionally, I am struggling with anxiety, I am struggling with compulsive behavior. The reason I start with thank you, first off, just thank you for pulling me into that vulnerable space for you. I think that's where you start to see the difference as you are working with a nurse who, you know, kind of has that background in maternal health, because I have decades of screening mothers for postpartum depression and anxiety in those early days after birth, and then in those early weeks. And then now, having worked for a decade with moms in the home practice, you really start to see that right around 2 to 3 weeks for your more severe cases, where it's undeniable. But I work with families through weaning. And so what's happened over this last decade, especially with the increase in the use of tracking apps, really rigid parental books that are guiding feeding with expectations of a good baby if you do the philosophy right, and mommy baby groups that, you know, really can perpetuate that comparison and the product related support, like if you buy this product then it's going to be your hack, or being problem oriented in even specialties that they're kind of parading in front of the mothers. You know, let's make sure that this is your pelvic health is good. Let's make sure that the baby's oral anatomy is good. Let's make sure that the movement therapy is good for the baby. And let's make sure that all these things. And it's like, we're really dealing with a human mommy and a human baby. And in general, they are not born broken, but there is an evolving that they're going to do in the next few months. I don't find that our current cultural experience for the postpartum mother in, you know, I could say just in our American experience, but as your practice is too, Cassidy, mine's worldwide. And I'll tell you what, I work with moms in the UK, I work with them in Brazil, I work with them in the Netherlands, and everyone is having the same struggles. So this is universal to motherhood right now, because we are connected by the World Wide Web and we have so many things in common that we are saturating ourselves with information, and it has a toll on a mother, especially, and this is your specialty area, but especially when you have predisposing factors, you have already discovered about yourself that you have this lower threshold for environmental triggers, stressors, and then you experience a higher level of anxiety, depression, or obsessive behavior than perhaps your typical peer. That makes you more vulnerable, so that when the process of birth happens, perhaps it's all typical, but perhaps it's traumatic, right? None of us are safe from having the traumatic birth. My third was almost so mirrored to what you're talking about. That was my surgical birth. That's what I always called it, Cassidy. And so to hear you say a belly birth, I'm like, oh, I have another way to describe it. I love it. And it, because it's not just a vaginal birth. My birth was different. When moms have these triggers and then the adjustments, right? The hormonal adjustment, the role adjustment, I am, you know, matrescence, I am becoming mother. And now I find myself with this exclusive role of feeder and provider of the baby. And there's all these expectations, and I try, but see, the expectations that impact us emotionally about feeding aren't society's pressure to breastfeed, although that it's often interpreted that way. That's the simple default. That's not where that pressure becomes problematic. It's these self-imposed pressures of doing it by ourselves, doing it exactly how we imagined it, because I read the books and I can control this in this schedule with this routine. And the thing is, you can't control something that you have not walked through before. You don't even know what you're expecting. So as I worked with this mother, I started out with, thank you for pulling me into that space, because this impacts our priorities in guiding your feeding as a dyad. Mom and baby, the two are not separate. The essence of breastfeeding is the two become one for those moments. And so who she is and where she's at psychologically and emotionally and physically matter. And so then I was able to come in, not as a role of a, you know, the a psychologist or a therapist, but as a healthcare professional and a lactation consultant, and go, okay, let's filter our plan with priority for a block of sleep for you and addressing your tendencies to compulsively track rigidly, as you were talking about, just talking with you and hearing you explain the black and white experience for moms who are struggling. It was just inspiring. I knew we need to unwrap this together and bring it to mothers, because there are so many who are experiencing this, and you can experience a satisfying postpartum feeding experience. Even riddled and walking through the forest of depression, anxiety, and compulsive behavior. You can do that with support of people like you and me walking with it and giving you accurate information and helping you filter everything coming at you. So that was these clients that have crossed our paths. I think it was inevitable because, you know, as you bump into other people who support moms in this journey of postpartum, it can be all over the place. And so coming across somebody who was so mindful and talented and skilled and therapeutic, there was no way I was going to let this opportunity pass to be able to funnel helpful information to mothers worldwide.
Yes. Oh my gosh. There's so many places that we can go, but what we're here to talk about for the listener, you are in the right place if you are interested in understanding how your mental health, your need for restorative rest, for a chunk of sleep, right? Because you just know how life-giving that is. You know that is important, and that is something that you really are craving attention to because you recognize, like, hey, there's a struggle here. And that, how can that coexist with your feeding goals and your relationship to breastfeeding with your child? How can they coexist? So I'm so curious to kind of like be in the consult room with you and how you help parents, how you help folks make decisions about feeding when their mental health is at stake here. Like, how do you help folks make these decisions? Because I know for me, with my first, it was so all or nothing. And I was only going to do the all. Like, I was like, all makes me a good mother. Like, all makes, like, I was going to repair that moment when they took her out of my belly and I couldn't even look at her. And I was just, I couldn't open my eyes. Like, I couldn't hold her right away. I didn't get that golden hour. All is going to fix that for me. That is how I prove that I'm enough, that I'm good enough. Hey there. If you are a California, Nevada, or New York based parent, we are accepting new clients. If you reach out to the link in the show notes, drcassidymft.com, you can learn more about my group private practice that supports millennial parents. If you're struggling with triggers as a parent, anxiety, relationships, boundaries, if you're trying to process a traumatic birth experience, or you're navigating fertility or pregnancy loss, we are here for you. If you are ready to take the next step in getting support with therapy, head to the link in the show notes, drcassidymft.com. Then click on the contact page and fill out that form. That is you sending an email directly to me. I will follow up with you and I will make sure that you will get connected with the right therapist in our group. And that's me included. We work with both individuals and couples. So if you are ready to take that next step, head to that link in the show notes. I am so excited to connect with you.
And that ended up contributing to so much pain and also kept me from getting support. Yeah. Right? Like, so
absolutely. Gosh, why is it that you feel like you cannot just ask?
Well,
for
shame,
very simple, right? Help.
Shame convinced me shame whispers to folks, like, there's just something deeply wrong with you. Don't let anyone see that. Like, because then if they see that, like, they're going to abandon you. Like, ultimately I think we are afraid of, like, what anxiety and shame are afraid of is, like, death and being alone. Right. And so, and being separated from those that we rely on, from those that we love. And so if you see this part of me that is so shameful, then you might turn away from me. And I think unfortunately a lot of us also have context and other experiences kind of around this, right? When maybe we were much younger and we felt uncertain. We felt scared. We felt like maybe is there something wrong with me? And if that came out of us, if that bubbled out of us, right? In like a tantrum or a meltdown or big feelings or needs. And if we had experiences, maybe big T traumas, right? Of course, or little T traumas of just moments where we looked at someone's face and they looked like disgusted with us, or they just like turned away from us, or they just were like, you need to go away and like be by yourself with these feelings, right? Like, I think unfortunately those experiences can translate to this adult who then also feels like, if I show you all of these messy things that are happening inside of me, you might turn away. You might look at me with disgust, right? Like, I could be alone again in this. And so what I have to do to maintain safety and connection with the people around me is actually to not let you see what's actually going on, right? But then the double-edged sword of that is then, oh, like I would go to like a breastfeeding support group, right? With the mask of having it all together on. And I can make connections, but then I might leave actually feeling even more alone. Because if you don't actually really see me, then is this even real? This doesn't even count, right?
And like clearly that's what we as women crave, right? We want to be on the same page. We want to be fully seen. We want somebody else to like recognize and identify the sameness in us. I think that's one of the reasons why this is such a satisfying experience, because we have the same specialty group of beautiful women that we work with, but there's so much sameness in understanding how to meet them in their vulnerable place and the value of evidence-based support so that they can make their choices. The thing, all choices. So as I meet with them in these consults, first consult, whenever, even if it's like multiple out and the symptoms are starting to reveal themselves, the chronic behavioral pattern that's interrupting the typical normalcy of that postpartum experience, then I definitely talk about the building blocks of essentials with breastfeeding. I always compare everything, whether it's expressed breastfeeding, which means pumping and bottling, but I like to include the title of breastfeeding in it because it is a form of breastfeeding, whether it's connected breastfeeding or whether it's bottle formula feeding, like all of that is well within my range. I include the fundamental principles of what's included in feeding at its simplest form as humans, as mammals. And when we have that filter, then we're able to take that in and just apply it and individualize it for what that mother needs. And then she can make her choices, because there's certain things that are undeniable and are going to be in every feeding experience. So a baby and mommy in their natural feeding state, baby's going to need to eat between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. Those are the peak hours of a hormone called prolactin that will protect supply. The tail end, those boundaries that there's still a little bit of that hormone, is midnight and 5. But I really notice between 1 and 4 is when it's concentrated. So this is our window where a baby, in its most natural form, the baby, especially early on in the first month, is going to eat multiple times in that window. But as we're starting to talk about mom's needs, and she starts, and I will screen and I'll ask, have you in the past ever needed treatment or support, or felt like you probably should have but didn't, for depression or anxiety? Or do you think you like really perseverate or focus in on the details of life and try to control them, and that's where you get your source of peace? Like, does this describe you at all? Because many times those things are amplified after we have babies. And so let's make room in this lactation visit to know that those things are very applicable. They are very important. They apply. So then moms will, after that bridge is opened and built, they'll often just share, I am really feeling completely overwhelmed. I feel like the feeding is the most important thing. I am constantly focused in on it. I am tracking how many minutes on each breast that I'm breastfeeding. I am always afraid the baby's not getting enough. I am, whatever the symptoms may be. Then we're able to talk. Okay, does getting a block of sleep make a difference for you in how balanced you are able to be overall? And if they do, then I find, and I would love your impact, like your input here, because I find 4 hours is the minimum for creating normalcy. And 5 to 6 hours for my mothers who are already in like a pre-diagnosed state with bipolar, manic depression, different things like that, and who come in even medicated sometimes, then I have worked with a 5 to 6 hour window and still been able to have a breastfeeding experience. But breastfeeding definitely, and just as much as I explain to them, like, okay, this is your window and there does need to be a stimulation time in that time frame. Also, we can flexibly play with the idea of dual feeding, which means formula and breast milk, where you can maintain what you have and not lose it, because now that we can have this individualized plan, and then you can make peace with that and move forward and it not be about constantly striving to get more milk.
Yes.
So it, there could be a range. It doesn't have to be black or white.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So here's something that I want to name as you were talking that I was like, oh, I can really recall some of the thoughts I'd have with that first, with my first postpartum experience. And one of the thoughts that I could imagine myself having as you were describing, like, if you are somebody who has this history or is having these symptoms, here are the options. I think that I would have had the thought, but I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that mom that needs this like separate sort of, you know, plan. And again, I can see it so clearly now that it was just this protective part of me that was actually deeply afraid again of being on the outside, right? Like of being not a part of the connected community, which I know like my ancestors needed to survive. And it's this like survival protector part of me that is afraid of me being on the outside or my child having not the quote unquote best, right? And really, really being wrapped up in that messaging of breast is best, right? Which I recognize the context of that too was to have more support for lactation, and the pendulum swung pretty high, pretty far there, and to feel ostracized if I don't do that exclusively, right? Like those were sort of the thoughts I was having, and I would love to hear, like, let's bring those thoughts out, put them on the table. And let's imagine that you get to be in the room as a lactation consultant with the mom and with this part of her that is having this little voice pipe in that's saying like, but I don't want this sort of different model or different sort of plan. Like, I want to do what's best for my baby. What would you, if you could turn to this part with like all the compassion I know that you would have, right? Like we're not trying to kick that part out of the room. We're going to be with it. This part needs to hear what you have to say. What would you say to this part?
Well, it's so satisfying to talk to you because that's how it is. When you are working with a mother, she gets to own her priorities, right? And for her, in the description of what you've just given, having exclusive breast milk for her, she understands the science behind it. She understands that once she moves out of that realm of just human milk, that, okay, now we're bringing in other mammal milk. And that's what that is, right?
Yeah.
And she understands that changes this dietary experience for my baby. But then what is distorted for her? What's distorted for her because of her situation is the level of impact that that's going to have. So it's almost as if you feel like your baby has no benefits of breastfeeding if you're going to give 4 ounces of formula a day. So what I do is I walk with them and I start to introduce different options so that they can walk through what that would essentially feel like. Mm-hmm. To have what now feels like a compromise, a tainting, unpurified feeding experience. But because they walk through the options, now things feel possible because they can walk through the lesser options. So I just start with, well, if having exclusive human milk is your goal, what about the option of donor breast milk? Now she can consider the baby having some milk not from her.
Yeah.
But having the benefits of all breast milk.
Right.
And once she feels that in this situation that you have drawn, mm-hmm. once she gets a chance to feel that and she can feel the release mm-hmm. of this pressure, that everything's going to fall out from under her yeah. if she isn't able to be the sole provider of the milk.
Yeah.
Then she can consider very viable options.
Yes.
I definitely, when I'm wearing this hat, do not view my role as getting her to compromise her goal and mm. give the baby formula because it didn't matter in the first place. Like yeah. your baby's going to be fine. The things that are not helpful to that mom in this situation mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. babies have been formula bottle fed for hundreds of years now.
Yeah.
And if you look at them, you can't tell the difference between a breastfed and a bottle-fed yeah. formula-fed baby. That's just a cop-out on information. And I know that we share it with moms who are struggling because we want to help fix mm. their struggle. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't do it. Honestly, mm. deep inside, she goes, well, it's not the truth. So what you're saying, I may put on a mask right now because I realize mm-hmm. you're trying to fix my struggle.
Yeah,
you're right. not really going to meet me where I'm at. So I just acknowledge, you're right. Human breast milk is completely digestible by your baby. Mm-hmm. It has all of these amazing things in it. Anti-cancer factors, human growth hormone, the proteins, the immunity. It's so amazing. And that's why you value it. You are a mother in knowledge.
Mm.
But you want to also consider yourself in the equation. So your baby has some basic nutritional needs. They include calories and hydration. So if it is not possible to sustain or to arrive at a thriving place mm-hmm. without this element of sleep in your mm-hmm. routine, that let's just say for this mom, it wasn't possible to wiggle through and keep full milk.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it doesn't. Let's just say that. Then would your intactness, your thriving being mm-hmm. be more beneficial ultimately
yeah.
than the baby having 4 ounces of formula.
Yeah.
And then I would walk with her and go, let's talk about the other milk options.
Yeah.
We have donor milk. And then I talk about community sharing and what that looks like from family to friend to acquaintance to stranger.
Yeah.
To donor breast milk banks, mm-hmm. right? And what that all looks like. But then I talked to them about their formula options.
Yeah.
We have ready-to-feed organic. We have regular powdered formula that's generic from Costco. Let's talk about what the options are, because mm-hmm. the options aren't our enemy. And by discussing them, I am empowering this mother to remove the fear mm-hmm. and look at true options.
Oh my so, gosh.
That's how I handle it.
That part of me would have wanted to curl into your lap. Be like, thank you. Thank you for holding me in this, because it's so real, and to be validated and to be given exposure. True, what I see you doing is some exposure to these options, right? The sort of there's so many, the complexity of these different options and the variety. So there is agency there. There's some exposure. With exposure, this part of me can see that as we try something that, gosh, we survive it, right? And then our brain has to wire that new experience, which can have a lot of value just moving forward in the parenting journey with all of the different sort of benchmarks and decision points and things that we will kind of face as we move forward. And gosh, as you were talking, I had this vision pop in my head of like that baby who's now 14, right? But like mm-hmm. that baby who became a toddler, who I remember looking in the back seat once, and she grabbed a chicken nugget and she was eating it, and I'm like, I don't remember giving you any chicken nuggets today. Where did that chicken nugget came from? You know, or like the days that my dad would watch her, and he'd drop her off at the end of the day. And she said like ketchup all over her face, you know, because kids just don't seem to notice that. And he was like, well, I think all she ate today was ketchup by the fingerful and ice cream and popcorn. And I'm like, you know what? But did you guys have a great day? You know, like, did you drink anything? Did you have a little bit of water in there? Okay. You know, and it's like, she's okay. They're going to be okay.
Right.
And we have these options, and what your baby does need also, as much as you mentioned, all the beautiful parts of breast milk, but what your baby also needs is a well you, right? And I think that as that part begins to see that what they're trying to protect has taken on this sort of extreme role, and that they can see, oh, there's also these other, if I'm really looking at wellness, right, and connection, gosh, if we get a 4-hour chunk of sleep, and how much more present we feel the next day and able to be attuned to little cues and such, right? And actually how that also aligns with what this protective part of you is desiring,
right.
then that's a really big thing to recognize.
Yeah. And once you can recognize that, once you can recognize that your ability to make sound judgment calls, your ability to, as a mom in your broken sleep era of postpartum, to be able to recognize big from little, urgent from necessary, you know, critical from just, this is an optional thing, that is enhanced when you're meeting the bottom of your pyramid. Oh, Maslow, I love you.
Yes.
When you're meeting those basic needs, and for those moms who are here with us and other professionals, hopefully, right? Let's just refresh, like, that's sleep, that's food, that's housing, that's, we are first and foremost our own person, and we have to have our basic needs met. And to know that sometimes, many times, you can better meet that sleep need. And again, we're talking about a mom who has a very real elevated need to have a block of dependable sleep.
Yes.
This isn't just our typical experience. It does take a toll on all of us, even for those who may not struggle with clinical anxiety, depression, and obsessive compulsive behavior. It hurts all of us to have broken sleep. I always say the newborn phase is like the boot camp of parenthood. You're like standing against a wall, not sleeping for 3 days, reciting your social security number. It is torturous. It's not a broken experience, though. It isn't something we have to be saved from, unless we do need to be saved from it. So the natural flow of this, the natural progression of the postpartum experience, it should progress to where the mother is getting more rest as the baby becomes more mature, and we don't have to force the baby to be out of the natural range of maturing, of their food cycles. We don't need to overfeed baby in order to get sleep from mommy. We need to pull in resources from mommy. We need partner, daddy, family, night nanny to come in and say, we
activate,
have a real, let's activate this like resource, this true support system, so they can meet baby's natural needs. Because for this mommy, this is a very elevated and real priority.
Yes.
So being able to differentiate between, you know, it's not wrong for a mom to necessarily have that broken sleep experience for the first several weeks or even months of like 2 to 3 hours. But if you are coming to the table and you do have these predisposing factors, then you need to have that addressed and supported. And and you know, like we had talked about, we don't have to demonize the breastfeeding like it's the cause. And sometimes that's what you get. You get, why are you valuing breastfeeding so much? You just need to take care of yourself. Well, now we're trying to rip out of this mother the very core, not just because she wants to fulfill this role, but because she wants to provide nutrition and connection and development for her baby. We can't rip that away from her.
It could be a risk factor. Absolutely.
Absolutely. We need to give her quality clinical support so that she can know, all right, so you pump at midnight, you sleep till 5, you have dad or partner feed the baby at 2, And then you are back in the game at 5 o'clock. And all of a sudden, that's a game changer. But you have to have that support and be able to weave and navigate a world that's going to just throw so many options at you
I know.
Disvalue something that you know inherently matters. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, there's a lovely correlation between breastfeeding and mental health.
Yep.
And the fact is, when a mom has a normal progression, right, she gets through that natural struggle, which can last, you know, sometime between 10 and 14 days, but by 6 weeks, things are usually quite sweet. And breastfeeding is the simplest way to feed a baby, even beyond formula and bottle feeding.
Right.
When that happens, those mothers have less postpartum depression, anxiety, and obsessive compulsive behavior.
Right.
But we are in a place where, gosh, that is so hard to get to happen. Yeah. And throw in on that, that they have a true diagnosis and vulnerability to these things. It makes it to where we need to make adjustments and priorities.
Yes.
So when a mother has complicated breastfeeding, we have to be intentional. We have to empower that mother to go, let's get really good support.
Yep.
Somebody who's going to value your breastfeeding and your mental health.
Yes.
Let's build one kick-ass plan for you
yes.
so that your choices are honored.
Mm. You are speaking my love language in all the ways today, Donita. Oh my goodness. Okay. So speaking of finding that support, I would love for you to share about where people can find you and connect with you and access you as a support, which will also be in the show notes for the listener.
So if a mother finds themselves, or even a professional finds themselves wanting to connect for support for their patients, then they can easily find me directly at woman to woman, and it's spelled woman, the number two, woman.care. And that connects you with my scheduling nurse under the contact button. And you're able to just kind of see everything about me. You see the Yelp reviews. You see you have access to my social medias. You see the things that I've shared on my website that you can get to understand more of my experience of working with families and what the support options are. I do offer telehealth support worldwide. So, and I love that. It just makes it so accessible. It's the gift that, you know, that COVID did give us.
Yes.
And it is, we are undoubtedly connected and easily connected virtually. And so parents are able to get that support there. And I do accept some insurances. And so all of those features are right on the website where you can check ahead of time. And then I'm present in the social media world. I'm Donita Wicks on all platforms. And I tend to share just really practical, evidence-based and therapeutic info that you can apply to this world of feeding that will help you navigate the culture today. Nobody makes money when your breastfeeding's not broken. And there is a truth in that. And you have many, many interested parties in this world that would love to make money on your failed feeding experience.
Yeah.
And this isn't demonizing any particular things. It's just you have a lot of people that want to connect with you as a vulnerable population.
Yeah.
And they want your attention. So I teach you how to navigate that world in an empowered way so that you can be confident about what you're doing.
Thank you so much for all the work you do. I'll be sharing all the links to that in the show notes so folks can find you and connect with you and learn from you. Donita, thank you so much. This was such a joy. I am so glad that I sent that email, that you were like, hey, we should record something together. I am so glad.
For sure.
This is going to be so valuable to so many. I can already tell. I know it will be. So I appreciate you. Thank you.
Absolutely. And if I have mothers who are interested in meeting their needs emotionally and psychologically in this world of postpartum, how can they find you?
Yeah, so you can find me at drcassidymft.com. I have a group practice, Dr. Cassidy & Co., because I had so many moms reaching out and wanted to send them to folks that if I couldn't see them myself, that I wholeheartedly trust that we take similar approaches, have similar specialties, but they have their own incredible magic that, like, if they weren't my colleagues, I'd want to see them myself. And those are the therapists that work for me. And so in our group, we serve parents, fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and parenting beyond. And I'm also on social media at Dr. Cassidy on all platforms. And I share episodes similar to this one on my podcast here, Holding Space, and love to connect with moms. I also have a Substack now. That's kind of new. It's called A Little Space, Please. And it's because I am actually obsessed with the idea of carving out margins and space as parents and as mothers.
You have to share about your book here.
Oh, yes. I have a book, too, coming out. Okay, so the title is in the works. We don't have a for sure title yet, but it's coming out June 2026.
I love this. We get to be excited with you in the process.
Yes. I just turned it in, the final manuscript, to my editor. It's moved on to copy editing. And I'm so excited. And it's a book for parents who are interested in breaking cycles, who are navigating things like perfectionism, people pleasing, that like need to achieve, and how to break those cycles. And I talk my go-to tool in a bunch of different ways, and I get real sort of practical and provide a lot of specifics around how we do this, but it's a lot around space and margins, like a space between trigger and response, carving up margins for ourselves and margins for mistakes and all that. So it's coming out, I think it should be summer 2026. So thank you for encouraging me to talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. Whenever you talk about it, when we connect, I'm like, to read the book.
Yeah.
I've already been inspired just from our interactions in intentionally creating more boundary space.
You see me do it. You see me do it in action.
Yes. And yeah. It has inspired me to go, that's right. I don't have to cram every second with productivity. And you've really helped me start to connect the why I'm doing it. And so, it's wonderful. To connect with you.
It's been really, truly nice.
I hope this has a wonderful, positive impact on the community out there, and more to come.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you did, you might want to hit that subscribe button to be the first to know when future episodes air. And go and explore some of those past episodes. Maybe there's a topic in there that you've really been wanting to learn more about. You can learn more about my private practice as well as my parenting courses and workshops at the link in the show notes. You held space for yourself today. You carved out the time and you tuned in to this episode. I hope you take a moment to honor how meaningful that is. Yes, to me for sure, but also for you. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll catch you next time.